All right, well, let's jump in here today. We're going to go phrase by phrase through this. We did our video this week. We do a video each week, and one of them this week was about love and being a bearable person and how we are walking and living, that people are easy to bear up under us. Being kind, loving person is kind, and so we're bearable with those around us. And we talked about these cranes and the way that a crane is able to lift huge weights, like 20 tons, is because they have a foundation. How Stuff Works explains this, that the crane is actually preceded by a large concrete pad that the construction company pours several weeks before the crane arrives. I don't always do this because I see them in the bridge construction. Maybe when they're not lifting as much, they just kind of swing in that day and put it up. But these large ones, this concrete pad is like 30 feet by 4 feet and weighs 400,000 pounds. And so you know that that pad is secure, and then the crane is bolted securely into that pad. And so it's a secure resting place to build. It's a secure resting place on which to build. And we look inside the building of the church and inside our own lives, it's similar. We need to have a secure foundation, a resting place for us to be built higher and higher in our spiritual walk. And so that's what he's encouraging us to do today. And he uses the imagery of the building. As he talks about us being built on Christ, we need to be built on the secure foundation of Jesus Christ. And that's a major reason we're meeting today. We are worshiping the Lord Jesus as we meet together, and we do that corporately. But you know, one of the reasons we gather together as Christians is that we would be built up in the faith. It's not just to have a tingly feeling or a tickling of the ear or an outburst of emotion, right? And all these things may be fine and good. Maybe the tingling of your spine is the cold air coming on your back. I don't know. But the reason we're meeting together today is to be built up. That's why the church meets, to be built up, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And he wants us to be bolted securely to that foundation. And so these texts, like Colossians, kind of refocus us on that, because disunity or laziness or busyness or someone offending me or someone with poor motives or false ideas and false teaching will break away at those bolts that anchor us to Jesus Christ. And so we need to refigure them and make sure they're secure in each of our lives. And I hope we can do that today as we look through these verses to help us stay securely fixed to our foundation, who is Jesus Christ. All right, so Colossians 1 was all about the supremacy of Christ in all these different areas. And Colossians 2 really is about our stability in Christ. So Colossians 1 would be, right, bringing us to Christ, the supremacy of Christ in creation, the supremacy of Christ in the church, the supremacy of Christ in you, the supremacy of Christ in preaching. And now we look at not just as Christ enough, so come to him. But Colossians 2 would be more, Christ is enough, he's stable, so stay with him. Stay with Christ. And we'll kind of flesh that out as we move along. But if I could just point out verse 6. Verse 6 is important as a hinge to the whole book, as he's thinking Christ is enough, supreme. Just a beautiful, beautiful hymn in Colossians 1, and just heights of thinking of the glory of Christ. But he's going to get our shoes on in Colossians 2. And he's going to start saying, now that you know who he is, continue with him and stay with him and walk in him. So verse 6 is so important. Colossians 2 verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, okay, let's do something about it. Right? Good theology gives good practice. Right? Knowing all this about Jesus makes me put my shoes on and want to walk in him. And so we need to think about Jesus, but also that needs to make us live a certain way. And we'll see verse 6 really connects those two throughout the rest of the book. So let's look at that in its context. Okay, we're going to look at verses 4, 5, 6, and hopefully 7 if we have time. Verse 4, we'll see that he's going to kind of give us this appeal. In verses 4 through 7, the appeal to stay steadfast in Christ. Okay, and so we find this reason, an exhortation is given to continue in Christ. Right, and then verse 6 is the actual exhortation to continue in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. And then verse 7 will help us because it tells us how. It tells us how to continue in Christ. There we are. Verse 7, the way to continue in Christ, and there are these ing words that are kind of our four bolts that keep us continuing in Christ, staying firm to that foundation. So let's jump in here. The first reason, exhorting us to continue to walk in Christ. Why is that important? Why would it be important for me today to exhort you to continue in Christ? Well, reason one is there are people who will deceive. There are people who will deceive, and we get that from verse 4. Verse 4, he says, I say this, he's encouraging us to walk in Christ, so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. There are going to be people who will try to deceive you, to delude you, to persuade you away from Christ. I say this. Well, what has he said? Let's just read the couple verses of before that, because he's really focusing on our treasure. I say this. Let me read verse 2. You have your Bible there. Look at Colossians 2, verse 2. Our hearts are encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. What is the true knowledge of God's mystery? That is Christ himself. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So what he's just said in verse 3 is that in Christ is hidden all the mysteries. Right? All the mysteries of the treasuries of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. So we can think of all the wealth of all the treasuries of the world are hidden in Christ. The well of all the water, the living water of God, is hidden in Christ. Right, in Christ is this unlimited mine of gold, the bottomless bank. It's all in Christ. You just got to come to Christ. He's saying, keep coming to Christ. They're going to want you to go here. They're going to want you to come here. But verse 3 is saying, in Christ is hidden all of it. All the treasures are in Christ. That's not saying that, okay, now I come to Jesus and he's going to give me all the money in the world. It's saying you come to Jesus and you need nothing else. You have all that you need in Christ. Right, and that's what we looked at last. And so because of that, he's going to keep fixing our mind on that. So don't get sidetracked to X, Y, or Z. You have it all in Christ. I love that gospel song by Charles Jones. You know this, Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea, he is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure, he is all I need. I like that. It really encapsulates Christ to us. He's all I need. That foundation in Christ, it's the treasure trove. And once you have him, you need nothing else. And so he's saying, because of that, I say this, Jesus Christ is all you need, so that And then this is the purpose. No one will delude you. Because others are going to try to delude you. They're going to try to, I like the idea of deceive. I don't usually use the word delude, right? Deceive you, distract you, dissuade you would be more accurate, right? To try to use arguments to persuade you away from Christ by tricky reasoning, literally. They'll give you reasons and trick you, so there's some logic there. They're giving you these persuasive arguments, to try to trick you and delude you, deceive you. So they are arguments. They do kind of give you a logical flow. They make some sense. They may even be convincing sense, but it goes against the Bible. So I have to say, you're trying to give me reasons that direct me away from the Bible. I need to keep my mind founded on God's Word. Right? And so we see this all over our culture. They give you thoughts that may sound a little reasonable. Right? You see all the similarities in these different animals. And so we, you know, we all came from this animal, which came from this animal, which came from this animal, and they do that eventually. Some would do that to have a completely secular view of where I came from. Oh, there was no God in the picture. You came from an amoeba. Yeah. Right? And so somebody might give that reasoning out there, but maybe there's other explanations. Maybe there's these similarities because there's the same maker. And God is the one, His fingerprint is in all of us. And if we came from them, then why do monkeys still exist? Right? If we outbred them? Or why don't we find millions of transitions from me to this, to that, to that, to that? In the dead, would that be fossil record? Right? Where did the original living thing come from that started this whole domino series? Right? So we have these other reasons that would say, you know, the Bible's account really makes good sense. These answers make good sense. I was just talking to somebody this week about this. You know, it was a few weeks ago. And he's trying to convince me. He's like, I hate religion. And I don't believe in God. And so this is where he started. And you know, I was just like, well, you don't have answers to this, this, or this either. I'm not trying to argue, but I'm just saying, right? Okay, you know, if you're just basing things on reasons, there's other theologies out there that may say that, you know what? You read Job talking to God in heaven and trying to reason with God. And so perhaps Satan is a spirit brother with Jesus before Jesus came to earth. I don't see that one at all. That's Mormon theology. I just like you, there's no logic there. There's no reason there. But they will say an angel gave new revelation. And so there's this new revelation, and maybe this supersedes the Bible revelation. Alright, so here's another lie that Satan will put out there. And that one's similar to the ones that the Colossian church were hearing, because they were starting to worship angels. And so Satan kind of regurgitates the same lies over and over. Maybe those two would not be ones that you would fall into. But how about this one? This is very common in our culture. You know what? There's just all these different pathways to the same God. And you have your pathway, and I have my pathway, and right, this religion has this pathway, and this religion has this pathway. Well, you know, okay, I'm following their reasoning, but that's not what the Bible says, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the pathway to God but by me. He's claiming to be the exclusive pathway. And in fact, it's not that we are making our way up to God, it's that God made His way down to us in Jesus. There's all kinds of things that we can believe by these trickeries, right? That, you know, oh, I see some thinking by there, right? You can, this is where we would all more fall in. You can conquer that temptation standing in your own flesh. You can do it. Just man up. It's all you. You have all the strength in yourself. You don't need help. That's a lie. You need God. You need others. Or maybe this lie, God doesn't care about you and giving you help. Or this lie, God doesn't know about you or giving you help. Or God is not able to help you. Those are all lies. And so what do we do when our mind starts drifting those ways? We got to have our mind firmly fixed into the anchor of God's Word. But they're out there. There's new ones every week that you'll be confronted with everywhere. And so we need to encourage you to continue in the faith, continue to be founded on the Word of God. Verse 5, he gives another reason why, though, not just that there are people out there who want to delude you, but there are also people out there who are not deluded. And that would be you. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. And so this is another reason why he's wanting to encourage them. Not just that there's people out there who are deceiving, but you know what? There's people out there who are not deceived. And he's like, I need to encourage them to stay strong. To stay strong in the faith. And he's like, I haven't seen you, but I'm with you in spirit. And I've heard of your faith. And I want you to continue to trust in Christ. Continue to follow. Literally, this good discipline. This is orderly. Orderly and in line. In the same order of lines. And it's kind of like the idea of groups of soldiers. A front line. Right? Your faith has a front line for it. That keeps out wrong ideas that would try to get in there and ruin your foundation. Right, I'm picturing the Clemson front line, or right, the football front line that holds back anyone from trying to run through. Right, we need a strong front line that will hold back any error. Stable, right? Good discipline and stability of your faith. Your faith is a strong front line, and it is stable. It is strong. It is not weak. No flinching, no moving, standing strong, right? Like those bolts just screwed in so tightly to the foundation that someone comes to you and, you know, you're just strong. You're strong. You're not bragging about it, but like it doesn't dissuade you at all. Like, that's silly to think that Jesus was a brother to Satan. Like, that's nowhere in the Bible. That's silly. Why would you even think that? Well, someone started lying. But if you're strong in your foundation, you know the Word, you're able to think that, that's just silly, and you're able to say that. And that's what makes the author here, Paul, rejoice. And so he exhorts us the same way. So he gives this exhortation then in verse 6. Move on to the exhortation itself. An exhortation then to continue to walk in Christ. What have they done? They've received Christ Jesus the Lord. What do they need to do? Walk in Him. Continue to walk in Him. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, right? So that's the reason why he's giving this appeal in verse 6. Therefore, because you've received Him and you're in the faith, therefore, as you've received, so this is what they've done, they've received Christ Jesus the Lord. They've received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so then you've begun the faith. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ today? He's come to the door of your heart and He's rung the doorbell. Maybe it's your apartment building. He's run your number. Have you let Him in? He said, here I am Lord and I am God. Do you believe in me? Have you opened the door and said, yes, have full sway of my house? I trust in you, Jesus. That's the concept here. Have you received? It's the Christ Jesus, right? There's another "the" in there, and I think that's helpful for us. Have you received the Christ Jesus, the Lord? And by saying it that way, it really draws out this fact that what he's saying is Jesus Christ is the Lord. This early Christian confession that Jesus is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is Yahweh. Jesus is Lord. Do you believe that? Is he your ruler, authority, and Savior? Well, that is true. Then walk in him. As you have received Jesus Christ, walk in him. Continue to walk in him. And that's where it begins. Verse 6, look in your Bibles there. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And there's been some other commands, but this is kind of really the launching point of the rest of the book until chapter 4, verse 6, where he's giving all these commands. Flesh out your Christology. Since Christ is supreme, since he is stable, walk in him. And so we could see, and we're going to go through these, so you don't need to mark them all, do it, but at least look at verse 8. There's the next one. See to it. Watch that no one takes you captive. Verse 16. Don't let anyone judge you. Verse 18. Don't let anyone defraud you. All right, and then he continues on. Chapter 3, verse 1. Set your heart on things above. Set your mind on things above. Put to death. Rid yourself. Do not lie to one another. Clothe yourselves. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Put on love. It goes on and on and on. Really fleshing out what it means to walk in him. Live like Christ in your life. Now that you know him, let him transform you to walk in him. Continue to walk in this faith. Well, how does that happen? And that's our last verse here this morning. The steps to continue to walk in him. There's four ing words. Do you see them in verse 7? Andrew, so what is that part of speech? Pastor Andrew, our English teacher. Participles. Sorry, getting some grammar in there. I'm so sorry. But it's helpful, right? If you're taking notes or in your Bible, you can kind of put a pencil line under all those ing's. Having been firmly rooted, number one. Being built up, number two. And then it is an ing in the original. Being established in your faith. And then overflowing with gratitude. These are our four bolts. Because you see the reasoning there. He says, as you've received Christ, so walk in them. And you're saying, how? Well, this is how. Having been rooted. Does that make sense? This is how you're going to continue to walk in him. Having been rooted. Having been built up. And so let's just take a moment to screw these in tightly. What are they? Verse 7, these four words. Well, they give several different illustrations, don't they? The first one is agricultural. The second one is construction. The being built up. The third one is what? It's being established. So that's similar, but it's actually, there's a legal aspect to that. And then overflowing. So some really interesting word pictures here. And Paul uses this, and so does Jesus, to help us understand what each of these bolts looks like. And so let's, by God's grace, jump into them and make sure they're a part of our lives. Okay, the first one, having been firmly rooted. Right, the root system of a tree is so important. Now, there is progression between these. Like, it starts there with the roots. You need to have been firmly rooted. Often they go down as far as the tree goes up. Now, the roots are the anchor that provide nutrients for the growth of that tree. And that tree can't grow if the root is not stable and healthy. Jesus uses this as an illustration in the parable of the soils. He says, some seed falls upon rocky places where there's no soil and the roots can't grow deep. And the sun comes out and it scorches it and it dies. And so we need a nice, rooted experience into Christ. I need to start out rooting myself into the person and work of Christ, knowing Him, experientially praying to Him, living with Him, but also knowing who He is accurately from the Word. It's just not the real personal Jesus that you make up. It's Him as He reveals to you in His love letter, the Bible. These folks were well rooted. So we can picture this way. Right? Are you rooted in Christ? But he continues there. I think there is progression. Not only are you to be rooted, that's the beginning, but you need to build on those roots. And so we are also built up. Right now, having been rooted, you must be built up, being built up on that rooted foundation. You can't stop by having the beginner understanding of the gospel. That needs to be growing and growing in our lives. And so we could think of this way, in a silly way. You have these, right? The bricks are growing on top of the roots, and he's mixing illustrations here. You take your relationship with Christ and you build on it. You grow, just like spouses need to grow with one another. We need to grow in our relationship with the Lord and the time we spend with Him, but the trust that we have in Him needs to continue to grow. And so we're not content with yesterday's strength. I want to continue to build those bricks of faith in my life in Christ. And then the third one goes beyond that. I think we're rooted in the gospel, and then we're starting to build on that, and then we are established. It's almost like I'm finally that front line. I'm strong in the faith because of years of growing on those roots. And I'm building up, and the idea is a guarantee, right? Putting down a guarantee, a security. That is that guarantee, that security that I will not falter in the faith because I've been rooted and grounded. And this is silly, but this is the way I pictured this. I picture the three little pigs as our top picture, right? Because they got to the point where eventually the brick house was strong enough, and they were equipped, and they were secure, and the wolf came, and they were safe. And this is the picture we want in our lives. The wolf comes, that may be the trial, or the false teaching, the false thinking, and that's not just, right, well, that's Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons. Like, this is false thinking of secular lifestyle. This is false thinking of my own lies, right? That comes to you and it wants to puff and blow your house down, and you're secure because you've been built up in your faith in Christ. And that overflows, in just a second, that overflows in thanksgiving. But let me just share this. In the providence of the Lord, we're beginning this series that really focuses on that first phase of rooted and grounded. And so those of you who've been coming here, you know this, right? This is our grace groups. And what we do is we have a five-year curriculum that is trying to do this. We're not doing a great job, but we're trying. And I was so convicted 5 years into our church plant that, like, I just didn't think I was doing a good enough job of trying to think through this and encourage this. And so there is a five-year curriculum that we're thought through carefully about how to try to do this. And the one that we're starting this fall is actually one of these beginner ones, that rooted and grounded, and it's called Welcome to the Family. And it kind of surveys the whole five-year thing. And yet, it, by, you know, what we want to do is eventually this is what you'll use as you lead another brother's sister, family member, coworker, friend to Christ. And then you start here with this, what we'll call sapling. And we call it the sapling book because we start out with the soils, and everyone's around us is soil. We want everyone to know Christ. But then when they come to know Christ, we start out as saplings, and we start with kind of the elementary principles. And that's what these lessons are all about. But what we want to do is you to think of it this way, right? We all need this. We want to make sure everyone's at least rooted level. in our church. So please try your best to be a part. And this is like for 4 months. So it's not an everyday commitment. It's not even an every week commitment. It's like once every 3 weeks or 4 weeks. But we try to get everybody into these smaller groups. But what we're thinking of is that you, each of you, that are a Christian, would be thinking of this as, I'm taking this lesson and I'm ready now to take someone else through this lesson. Right? I'm ready now. I just say, Tim, I've only been a Christian for a year. That's okay. I've only been a Christian for 3 weeks. That's okay. Jesus used those original disciples. You know, just think of Peter. Right? Think of those guys fighting about who's going to be first. Right? Think of, none of them had been Christians long, but they were ready, and he was ready to turn the whole church over to him. Right? And so we are those who need to be growing. But even if you're just in that rooted stage, you need to be ready to take someone else through that. And then move on to the next one. And by God's grace, we move from being rooted to being built up. And then being built up to saying, boy, I just want to take heed lest I fall. But by God's grace, he's allowed me to be a more like a pillar at Grace Baptist Church. And I'm a stronger person of the faith. And I can really encourage that person who's weak and faltering. Amen. I hope that you can all say that as you continue to grow in the faith. And if that's the case for you, then you have this fourth one. And I don't think I put a picture in of this. No, I didn't. But you could maybe picture the water overflowing on those three. Right? This is what's the overflowing. And that's what's neat. It's kind of like a picture of a tree. Right? You have the roots, and then you have it's growing, it's building built up, and then it's stable. You can take off the arms that are holding it, and then it starts to bear fruit. The overflowing fruit of this thing is what? Maybe not what we would think of. It's gratitude. It's thankfulness. It's like, you know what? I'm content in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And like that is a mature attitude. That constant thankfulness. And it's like that's your overflowing thing. You know, you may have some really rough times, but honestly, you're not faking it. You're just like, you know what? But I'm just so thankful that there's so much going on in the inside that is so good. And God is doing so much in me through all this stuff that, like, it's awesome. I wouldn't trade it for the world. That is gratitude. That is a mature Christian. And that happens as you are built up this way. Overflowing with gratitude to the glory of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's ask the Lord to work this out in each of our hearts. I'd just like to apply this with just for 1 minute. And then I'm going to go to the back lobby. And if you would like to pray with me about either of these applications, then please do. But if you would say, Tim, I've never received Jesus. Like, I knew about him, but like I never opened the door to give him full reign of my apartment. Like, I don't know that I've ever done that. And I am ready to trust in him as Jesus and Lord today. I would encourage you to just say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Like, you don't have to come to the back and talk to me. You can just talk right to him. He's listening to you. And say, I accept you as my Savior. I accept you as my Lord. Forgive me of all my wrongdoing, breaking your laws. I've done that. Forgive me for it. I don't want to do it anymore. That would be the beginning of that. But I would encourage you to say, Lord, help me to be rooted. If you're a Christian today, Lord, help me to get rooted, right? To get these elementary principles under my belt that I could teach others. I want to be a part of the building crew at Grace. That next phase of not just being rooted, but starting to build others up. And let's all ask for grace to do that, to be part of this amazing building. Maybe you would say, there's some lies I've just bought into, and I need to repent of thinking that way. I need to change my mind about that. And I ask the Lord to give grace to change our mind as well. If you would be like to pray with someone again, I'll be standing in the back lobby and happy to pray with you. Pastor Andrew will lead us in a corporate prayer of closing the message, but if you would like counsel or prayer, then just slip out in the quietness of this moment and we can pray together.